Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and I want to welcome you to another Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have a phenomenal chiropractor, a phenomenal teacher, a wonderful person, even better person. I've got Dr. Geraldine Mulhall Wright. So, Dr. Geraldine, welcome to Life West Leadership Line.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Ron. How's it going?
It's going great. And I see you so often. Dr. Geraldine is one of our adjunct faculty here. She's an amazing woman. Let me just give you a little bit of a history about this woman, right? She's a LifeWest grad, graduated in 1997. Actually, for those of you who knew that we, you know, the building I'm in right now is our new campus, which we came in 2000, 2001. Dr. Geraldine was at our old campus, which was probably a junior high school or a elementary school or something. I don't know. They were short. Hooks and the
toilets were very low.
Yeah, the toilets and the drinking fountains. You had to like get on your knees to do. Anyway, so she's from the old campus, and when she graduated, she's from the Bay Area. When she graduated, she went to San Francisco and practiced in San Francisco for 7 years, and then came back to the East Bay, which was your home, you said, right? And she's in Pleasant Hill. She's been there since 05. Like I said, she teaches peds at the college, and she's always there to help students. And she's ICPA certified 3 times. She's Brain Blossom certified, teaches continuing ed, lectures all over the world. And just recently, probably in the last 9 months, she's been service trip certified. So she's leading service trips for the college. Just came back from Mexico, I think, about 3 months ago, leaving tomorrow to go to Tonga, right? To take a group of 15 or 14 students and some docs. So just great stuff. And before we even jump into things, I just want to thank you. You know, thank you not just for who you are, because you know that who you are, I love who you are, but just for all that you do for the college, because you do so much for the college. And you're not even here all the time being an adjunct. You're in full-time practice, but just thank you. Anytime we need you, anytime we ask you to do something, you're just like, okay, let's make it happen, you know, that kind of thing. So I just appreciate it. You know, you are a team, ultimate team player. Okay, wherever you need me, I'm there. I'm ready to go in, whatever it is. So thank you. And I truly mean that.
My pleasure. I love being asked, because life is a group effort. And if we don't pull together, then we're pulling apart.
Absolutely. Isn't it the truth, right? You're either going up or you're going down. You're never staying like this. Yep. People think they are, but that means they're going down. I know. Anyways, it's so cool. And you've been involved in pediatrics for quite a while. How? Like, where'd that come from? Like, you know, did you know it right away? Or was it something that, you know, kind of hit you when you were in school?
I forgot. You don't know my story.
I don't know your story.
My grandmother, back in the 40s, got pregnant and didn't carry to term. She had a miscarriage. And the medical doctor said, don't worry about it. Sometimes it happens. Go ahead and try again. She tried again. Got pregnant right away. No problem. And lost that baby too. And had a third pregnancy that she also miscarried with. Thank God she was talking to a friend of hers back in New York who told her about chiropractic. And she went, in the 40s. So she went to see a chiropractor in New York. He took a look at her and he said, I know exactly what's wrong with you. And if you don't carry to term within a year, I'll give you your money back. I have goosebumps every time I say that, because I've never had the confidence to say that. Yeah. And that year she had my Uncle Bob. A year and a half later, still under chiropractic care, she had my Aunt Mary. And then a year and a half after that, She had my dad. So I literally would not be here if it weren't for chiropractic. So I'm a third generation chiropractic patient. There's three chiropractors in my generation, and none of us knew the other one was going for it because I've got one on the East Coast and one by marriage. And so it's always been in the family history that chiropractic isn't neck pain, back pain, it's life. So that's what drew me to it.
I love it. And so when you came to LifeWest, were you interested in peds at that time, or was it just like, did you kind of fall into it? Like just kind of get just life navigated you in that direction?
Well, it was sort of, I was planning on doing a family practice, like a general family practice. And then the more I saw the kids, the more I realized how much I was being fed by serving them. And so that kind of became my favorite thing to do.
And is
So,
that all?
no.
I mean,
No, the
do
funniest question I get in practice is, do you take care of adults too? And I said, yes. Someone has to drive the kids here. So I see everybody from, retired firefighters, cops, workers, anybody, but all of my marketing and that kind of education goes towards the pediatrics because that's my passion.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because you have. I tell students this all the time. They say, "I think I want to go out and do peds, right?" And that's what they say. And I say to them, I go, that's awesome, because I always whatever they want to do is perfect by me. But the other piece around it is that I have to say, I always say to them, "Yeah, but listen, make sure you're good at, because anyone who's going to bring in their kid is going to want to get checked also. And then guess what? Most kids have to be driven, and then guess what? Then you might want the spouse. They might want to bring the spouse, and then the aunt, and it just blocks. So most peds practices are family practices, right?
They
And I
are.
love the focus. I have to tell you this too. You'll probably get a kick out of this. So my oldest daughter practices in Denver, and she's raising kids. She's homeschooling, and I'm pregnant again. She's due in the month of October. I'm not sure when this is going out, but she's due in October. And she decided in her practice that she's only taking care of pre and postpartum and infants up to 12 months old.
Okay.
Now the beautiful thing is this: as her husband practices with her, so if my wife was in there with our newborn, right, or maybe pregnant, she said, "Oh, Ron's got to come in. Can he see you?" She'd say, "No, but he can see Matt." So like, take five steps over kind of deal, but it's so interesting because I mean peds is so huge, and it's so, I mean, what do we always say, womb to the tomb, right, kind of deal. What's tell me some cool stuff. I know, man, there was a story that one of our students told me that daughter is autistic and coming to you, or labeled autistic I should say, and they were driving over to see you. And just had amazing results, just amazing. And this is a student who's once again getting her light turned on, right? As a new, cool stuff.
A lot of my newer information is coming from Brain Blossom, where it's the I'm putting it together in a way that's actually easy to understand. But with these kids, and what I'm finding after 27 years of practice, I don't know if you saw this while you were in practice too. The kids that I were mostly seeing before were all wellness kids. And that was my favorite specialty. And now with everything going on in the world, almost every single child has some sort of challenge that we can help them with. And one of the biggest things that I find in practice is making sure I have a saying, I don't think I can outguess God or Mother Nature. And so we never know how far these kids can go. And so even though I have any kind of diagnosis, that essentially doesn't matter for their care because I'm going to care for them regardless of the diagnosis.
Right.
Right?
It's so beautiful, and you're so right. Between God and Mother Nature, we're just the conduit, right? We're just the free the machine up, so to speak, and allow it to function well. Have you noticed though, and this just hit me while you were just saying that, because I'm not in practice, obviously. I'm sitting in a different seat these days, but Have you noticed any of the effects from COVID? You know, all the things that they've been talking about, especially with the kids, is that those 2 years of learning online and, you know, being
Yes.
isolated, quote unquote, not whether, you know, I don't think it matters how old the person is, you know, actually. Have you seen anything around that? You know, they're saying now they, meaning, you know, whoever they are, you know, county health, saying, you know, 10 years we'll be seeing all, but come on, we know that it shows up much quicker. And if we can get to it quicker, we correct the cause. What have you noticed?
One of the things that I've noticed mostly is that the kids are really having trouble making transitions, which is an anxiety thing, which means that their nervous system is not feeding their brain appropriately so that they can actually picture what's going to happen. And because of the masking, two-thirds of their information on social interactions was just gone. And so I'm having to take longer and gentler times with the kids coming into the practice because they don't transition nearly as well as the wellness kids did. And so just being aware of that shifted my kind of my go-go-go type A personality. Let's serve, you know. So I've shifted a little bit around that so that the kids can actually get the time that they need and settle in so that their nervous systems are actually calm when I'm adjusting them. And it's just made such a huge difference.
And is there any, like, when you caught that, so to speak, as it start, you know, you had to have an aha moment at some point where it's like, wow, this isn't just this one. This, looking back, it's been like this, right? Anything special that you're doing like that, you know, just to deregulate, you know, or downregulate, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know which way you're regulating them. Are they coming in like really sympathetic and you know, anything's, you know, to bring them, to give them that time, you know, to start to deregulate. Anything you're doing around that?
Well, yes. One of the things that I love doing the most is actually I ask them two questions, and it doesn't matter how old they are. I've done this to infants too. So I'll ask them, you know, do you want to get adjusted on your mom or on the table, right? Or on dad or on the table or whatever it is. Both questions will get them where I need them to be. But then I am asking more permission from the kids. Can you help me with this? And then as I'm working the subluxation, they're realizing they're participating, and it's made a huge shift to help downregulate them when I got permission and they understood that they were part of the process.
So basically they're engaged. And the common mind would think, but if you're engaging them, then they're actually upregulating it. But the truth is, when you engage them on a personal level like that, and be close being close to them, they actually calm. You know, they actually will start to just, you know, be a part of the process, right? Instead of thinking what's going on or what's happening. It's so interesting, Doc, because, you know, we never really think about what they're thinking about. You know, think about it. You know, we just don't. You know, Mary and I saw a lot of kids in our practice, obviously. And, you know, one of our key things was I always, always got on my knees. I would always be face to face with them or a little below them instead of being above them, right?
Yes.
Always. You
It's
know,
huge.
that's so what I did, especially in the first time I met them, and as we went on, I'd always go down and shake their hand or high five, but I wouldn't be up here doing it. I would always, you know, just to be eye to eye with them and make them feel like that. And I saw that kind of draw them closer to me. They would actually come in closer, and if I stood up, they would start taking, not purposely, but you'd see them start taking steps away. I guess purposely, but not consciously taking steps away. And, you know, it's all that piece of being around there. And I love what you just said. Engage them, ask them questions. You know, how are you seeing them? Are they holding adjustments? Like with this, we'll call it the COVID subluxation just for now. I hate to even use the word COVID, but, you know, we'll just call it that generation, that time period. You know, nervous system stabilizing just as quick, or is it taking a little bit more time, or what are you seeing from that?
A lot of it depends on whether or not they saw me before or if they're coming to me after. And one of the things that I've found, because I have everything in my practice from never saw a pediatrician, you know, never been vaccinated, all the way to MDs, nurse practitioners, and other people who are like completely, they had to get fully vaccinated. And anyone who was under care or gets under care is doing hugely better than people who, are dealing with the situation and don't have the neurological bandwidth to actually process the information. And so it's just helping them make that connection. And I think that, making the bond, we all know about bonding, but I think we need to bond from the heart for sure first with kids, especially kids who are nonverbal, but with all the adults, because with the adults, one of the things that I'm finding is that they're so stressed out that they're now ADD, ADHD too, and it has shifted their brain.
Yeah.
And so, helping them, I ask them two questions now too.
What do you ask them? Do
Well,
you
do you
want to
want to
lie
get
face
adjusted?
up or
Like, for
face?
instance, yeah, exactly. Or do you want to get adjusted? How does your body feel today? Would you like an activator or would you like a manual adjustment? So I'm giving them, trying to give them power back to make those choices so that they're a participant in their health because they have, a lot of them have been so disempowered through this process. As we all know, it was hard.
Yeah, and I just got a bunch of ahas going because it's like, you literally made it so simple just to engage more, ask questions you haven't asked that you'll get answers that either way is good, right? Like, don't ask how are you feeling today because you never know what's going to happen, but yeah. Would you like an osseous adjustment today? Would you like a hand adjustment? Would you like an instrument adjustment? Face up, face down. How would you like to start? Whatever it might be, there's always questions that we can ask. I love it, and people want to be part of their care.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big thing, and plus they see you, they experience you with their kids
Yes.
and they watch you, So, I mean, it's such a, man, what a beautiful life we live, seriously. Chiropractic. I mean, it's like, how can you explain it to someone? How do you explain it to the students? Like, dude, you don't even know what you're into. I mean, you wait 10 years, you'll come back and go, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you taught me. I love this life, kind of thing,
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible. Talk to me about this. You're 27 years in practice. Obviously you've been taking care of kids. You constantly educating yourself. I know that. You're teaching continuing ed. You have to, with what you're doing. Talk about sustainability. Talk about, because I see you and it's like, oh no, let's tell the audience. I'll ask you, hey, come on, can we get you full time? No, I'm still in practice. Or, you're not going to jump out of practice. I know that, because you love it,
Yes.
the sustainability. You see, you got just as much passion now, just as much energy now, just as much love now, probably more, Talk about that.
It was a couple things. One of them was, and please forgive me for saying this out loud, but when I graduated, I never wanted to see Life West again because my cup was full of knowledge and angst and terror of having to take boards, right? I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this
Let
anymore.
me out of here, right?
Exactly. And then when I came back, the students actually helped me be a better doctor because it was part of a community that they question everything and I got out of my rut. And then sustainability, it took me years before I started traveling and doing all the things that I really wanted to do because, again, we're, as chiropractors, we're most of us, I think, are type A, and we're like, we got to serve and we got to serve and we got to serve and we got to serve. And we forget or ignore things that we need to do to get our downtime. And, that shifted quite frankly after I met my husband. I married Mr. Right. And he's like, nope, you need a break because you need to be able to do this. And if you don't have the energy for it, then you're not given 100% and it's not okay.
Yeah.
So.
It's that old saying, if
Yeah.
mommy or daddy ain't happy, nobody's
What is
happy.
happy?
And
Yes.
I think that's the biggest lesson that we learn is that, we don't, as caregivers, right, we don't take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's true. Let's face it. We'll do whatever we have to do to take care of people. That's the role we've been put in. But a friend of mine wrote a book. It's called The Caregiver's Caregiver. Chiropractor and his wife went through the labeling of dementia, Alzheimer's. She's no longer with us, and here he was in practice trying to take care of her, do all this stuff. And where does he, like we as caregivers need to make sure we're taken care of, right?
Yes.
What do you do around that? How do you do that?
A lot of times we travel and where I'm not anywhere near the practice, my husband's not, we're near any projects at home and we're just relaxing. We make sure that we have family connections. We love visiting family. But travel is huge for me because I never got to go anywhere because I was building up, right? And I remember the first time I told a patient after, I don't know, 15 years or something, I finally admitted that I was going on vacation. And the patients all
Like
went,
you're guilty, right?
right? Yeah. And the patients went, well, it's about time. Good for you. And that's when I realized that I needed to be the example and actually take the downtime when I get the downtime. And so, a lot of that obviously with the teaching schedule is only during breaks. So, but I do my best to take the breaks. I travel, and we're going all over the place. Tonga. I don't know if Tonga actually counts as a break because it's service, but it's going to be fun. So
Absolutely.
that's super,
Absolutely.
super fun.
And that's the cool thing too, because you talk about balance, or I'm going to talk about Tonga in just a little bit, but you talk about balance, and balance doesn't always have to be, breaks don't always have to be just relaxing or laying on the beach. It could be learning, it could be anything, right, that gets us out of our daily activity that we do all the time, even though we love it, but just puts a shift in there to where we can say, wow, yes, I disconnected and now I'm going back in, right?
Very true.
And I know you learn. I know you're a lifelong learner. You're a lifelong teacher. You teach CE, you teach at the college, you're always doing stuff. Talk to me about learning, because and coming from not just from a teaching standpoint, but from a professional standpoint, based on what you're doing. If I said the word, what does learning mean to you, or what does it do for you besides mentally, what you learn? What would you say?
Oh, besides mentally, I'm not sure.
Actually, mentally, I learned that 1 + 1 = 2. So I learned that, but the stimulus or whatever it is,
Yeah, it's one of those things that I would love to know everything, and it's impossible. So I've actually had to tone down my niche into what I want to learn, which has been fascinating to actually make a decision about that. And like Dr. Minnie Pels, I've known about her for years. And when her book came out, Fast Like a Girl, I know her and I thought it was an exercise book. And I went, I am not reading another exercise book. I know what I'm supposed to do, right? And then I saw her speaking and I went, oh, it's a book on fasting and life-changing, right? So it's those moments where when I reach out to check something out, I get a piece of information and it either takes me down something that's even more, or I have that little piece of information that like, ah, there it is. Like Dan Murphy, if I can get like three things from Dan Murphy, because everything else is so hard.
Like this,
Yeah,
like
exactly. So it's just like
fire hose coming at
three
you.
things, exactly. Okay, I got it. Three things and I'm good. I'm yay. So it really charges me up to take a look at the people in my life and myself and how can we pass along information, because I'm a resource, not the I don't have to know it all. I just have to know where to send them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what you said is so true, because people always think exercise. Well, why do we exercise physically, right? Well, it's good for our muscles, good for our bones, good for our stress levels, all that stuff. But when we exercise our brain, forget about the information that's coming in, but when we exercise our brain, it does so much for us. I mean, and just the accomplishment, like you said, of just grabbing three things, whatever it was, we feel good about it, right? And Mindy's got amazing stuff. I know we had dinner together at the Wave, right? With Mindy and you and a group of speakers, because you spoke at the Wave this last year, and it was, it's so amazing to watch people kind of take off and watch that happen, right? And yet, it's all about balance still. It comes right back to what we talked about, having fun and being in balance, but learning that lifelong process, man, it's like invaluable. I love what you said, because it's just, we gotta keep taking things in. I look at my father, Doc. He's 98 years old, and he reads more books he reads more books in probably 2 months than I read in a year, voraciously, but he just keeps his, he does it because he enjoys it, and it keeps his mind going. It keeps everything, and he enjoys it. That's what, he wouldn't do it if he didn't enjoy it. I love it. Let's move into service, because You are now, and I said this in the introduction, you are now a service ambassador. And for our viewers, just so you know this, we do, obviously, hopefully, if you don't know it, we do service trips at LifeWest. Our students go on and we send 45 or 42 students every quarter break, we send them out to different areas of the country, India, Tonga in the South Pacific, and Mexico, right? Mexico City. And we do service trips there where they go and they get to open their heart. They get to see more people than they'll ever in 3 days than they'll ever see in their whole clinical experience here at the college. I mean, it's amazing. And then we get docs who have to be with them, but they have to be not just from the outside, they gotta be from inside LifeWest, because for us to have them go as students, they have to have a supervision from doctors who work here, right? And so Dr. Geraldine came up to me, I don't know, was about 9 months ago?
Probably.
Yeah. And just saw me in the cafe and just at the college here and just said, hey, can adjunct professors do service trips? And I said, why not? I mean, yeah, of course, I would think so. And you had said I didn't hear you had heard differently. And I said, well, let me find out. So I went to the head of the service trips, Dr. Scott Donaldson, and I said, tell me. He goes, absolutely, they can. So I went back and told Dr. Geraldine. And the next thing you know, boom, she's enrolled in the Mexico service trip 2 months, 3 months later, right? And that's where you went 3 months ago and did your training, correct? Like, how to be leader, how to lead these, da, da, da. And now you're off to Tonga tomorrow to take a group of students to, and you'll be the only one with them, obviously, and be there for them. So talk about that to our audience, because we opened it up to doctors, by the way, now that we're doing this. And with docs, we want you side by side with our students, serving, helping, whatever you want to do, but being there. But share the experience of how you feel, doctors or people, what they would get out of going on a service trip.
There is something about people who are not in the American lifestyle that is so fulfilling when you adjust them. They have more changes than we're used to seeing in practice. So that was number one. Also, being able to serve at that level and how many people that we got, I mean, it was over 3,000 that we saw, three docs and 15 or something interns over 3 days. And it was absolutely incredible to get kind of the pace back because, yeah, I'm sure I'm talking to the choir here, but there's that one point where you hit a flow where you cannot do a bad adjustment because everything is just clicking, 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 clicking. And it's amazing to watch it happen when you can't talk to them because they don't speak the same language. So it's either through an interpreter or, you're having to work it through. So that was amazing.
Yeah, that innate to innate connection too, right? That
Yeah. Yeah.
nonverbal,
Yep.
it's just there. Did you notice this? What I noticed when I was going on service trips with the college, I don't go on many anymore because my travels don't take me there. But what I noticed was on every service trip, there was a certain part of the day, usually in the afternoon, like around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, where it just got quiet, like a humming machine. And everyone was just in this vortex of serving, and everyone was connected. And it just seemed like time and space and all this stuff stopped. And it was, have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's just
Yeah.
was
And the
incredible.
level of gratitude was just phenomenal. I mean, just being in that process. And then for me as an instructor, watching the students who, didn't know anything when they came into the class, and then they are just amazing.
They're rock
They're
stars.
amazing. Yeah. And they haven't even graduated yet. So that was just mind-blowing for me because, 27 years ago, we were not at that level when we graduated, Well, I wasn't. I should speak for myself. I never broke any of the rules.
But exactly. But me either. And I swear I'm sticking by that statement. But the other thing too is this, is that, what I see, and I think it's the same for doctors, but what I see with our students is a lot of times our students have their confidence up here, right? And they think, their competence could be here, so to speak. Or I shouldn't say that. This is what we might feel, or that kind of thing. They're overly confident, right? And they don't realize their competence level. So they're nervous, they're afraid, and that's a scary thing to walk into a service room. And then after a day or day and a half, it starts doing this, and before you know it, it's doing this. And it's incredible because, you know, someone who's confident but can't produce the goods, that's a recipe for disaster, right? They're going to have problems, right? I can do that, and it's boom, they can't do it. But the ones who can, and you know, do you notice that? Did you see that? That they're more timid at the beginning, but then it's just kind of like they just, and you know, they're not learning in a day and a half. They're learning, but they're not, you know, they've already learned this stuff. Now they're just using it, you know. What
And
else
for
did
the
you
other
notice?
docs, well, for the other docs that would come, one of the things that's really amazing is watching the students look over and see a doc who's been in practice for years. And you go like, wait a minute, what are you doing? And how does that work? And because they're seeing someone who's done it professionally for years, and we all make it look easy because we've been doing it for years, right? They can then start upping their game in ways too. And so it's phenomenal. It's the give and take between the students and the docs, just amazing.
But you know, I have to tell you selfishly, and I really mean this selfishly, you know, our students go and it's great we're taking care of people. That's what we want to do, where they don't have chiropractic care, which you'll see this in Tonga. They'll be ready for you, waiting for you, they'll be giving you things. I mean, it's just what you'll see there, which you saw in Mexico too. But all of this is there, and we're fulfilling our mission, creating a brighter future for humanity. We're doing all the right things. But selfishly within me, my biggest win, and that's all big, is creating servant leaders. People who want to go out and serve when they lead, right? Like really doing it for the right reasons. And you watch that happen, right? When they're there, right? Don't they just melt, and they just kind of like, they get in the flow, and they're just kind of like, you know, they don't need you. They're just literally, amazing.
They it shifts something inside of them from the technical and then the numbers bits to the connection and the people, and boom, and it's just phenomenal watching them. They're incredible.
Yeah,
It's
see?
incredible.
They are. And that's why, you know, with our preceptor program, it's always about, you know, if docs are lucky enough to get a LifeWest student in their preceptor program, and I tell you, it's gonna, you know, 70 over 70% turn into job offerings. You know, it's because they're rock stars, you know, and they know how to come out, they know what to do, but doing it for the right reason with their why is just key. Awesome. Well, I know you're gonna love it. Tonga is an amazing place. It really is. It's just, you know, it's wonderful. So, and you're going at a right time of year. It's going to be a little cooler, you know. I don't know if you know about swimming with the whales, but right now they're swimming with the whales. So there's two places in this on the planet that you can get in the water with whales. One is somewhere in Malaysia or Southeast Asia, and the other is Tonga. So you can do, I don't know when you're flying out, but if you got a few days there, you can talk to people while you're there, who you're adjusting, and say, hey, who do I talk to about swimming with whales? And they'll tell you, because everyone on the island knows each other. And you can literally get in the water, and because they had just had babies, so they're lying on top of the water sleeping, and you go, and you they're, they keep one eye open, one eye closed when they sleep. Half their brain, you know, sleep, the other half is awake, just for predators and everything else, but their babies are all swimming around. It's the coolest experience, one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in my life. So if you get a chance, do that. And the other piece is, you know, just thank you. You know, thank you for what you bring to the college and what you bring to the profession, all the people you're teaching right now, outside of the college, you know, pediatrics and the things that you're doing, and your never ending thirst, you know, for knowledge and to up the game, so to speak. Thank you. And you do it in a principled way. You do it in a congruent way. And most of all, you do it from love. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. So thank you, Dr. Geraldine. You are a rock star. I really mean it. It's
I
awesome.
very much appreciate the opportunity to actually serve like this in a place that has the integrity that I'm looking for. So,
Well, it's a good match then. It's right there. And I'll ask you two questions before you go on the trip, right? Are you going to see him face up or face down, whatever
That's
it's going to
right.
be? Cool. And thank you. Thank you to our audience. Man, you are amazing. And you know, by doing these LifeWest leadership lines. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop a Life by LifeWest that I do with myself and my wife, Dr. Mary. But by doing these, what we're looking to do, and I think I believe we're getting more successful every week with it, is just connect our tribe, you know, connect our connection of chiropractors and bringing wonderful people on. There's people who need to hear what Dr. Geraldine said. They're in your community, you know, they're in your sphere of whether they're chiropractors or not, doesn't matter, you know. So just thank you, because the way we're growing is organically, and this is just being shared, and it just goes on. And the more you share it, the more we're able to give that adjustment above Atlas that people are looking for. And I shouldn't say that. They don't know they're looking for it, but when they get it, they go, wow, I needed to hear that. And I hear that all the time. So anyways, thank you. Thank you for doing all that you do, for sharing this, but also for just being in the trenches and making a difference in the world, no matter whether you're over a table or not, just doing what you do to make this world a better place, because we are all about creating a brighter future for humanity. So until we come back at you for Dr. Geraldine and myself, we'll bid you adieu and let you know that, you know, keep loving and hugging those around you, and keep letting people know that they are more powerful than they were ever led to believe. See you at the next LifeWest Leadership Live.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.